Hello, everyone. Well, here we all are in January 2014, and a very happy new year to all the Minions and Halloween junkies out there. I'm Eric Weister. Hope everyone's holidays were terrific. Halloween in particular, but more on that subject a bit further on. For now, we're heading out to a small community of southern Ohio, the boondocks of Wilmington, a quiet little rural area that's not quite part of Dayton, yet not entirely of Cincinnati either, to visit that town's namesake Haunted Hollow Ride. The site address is WilmingtonHauntedHollowRide.com, and they do have a mandatory Facebook page, as most folks do nowadays anyway. There are some clips on YouTube, mostly from the fans' perspective, none too lengthy or well shot, but they do give a fair inkling of what's going on at this place. The town of Wilmington is about half an hour to the southwest of Lisa and I, consisting of pockets of suburbia surrounded by Forest Preserve and Farmer's Field. The Haunted Hollow itself is nestled in the midst of it all, in a huge open space which may or may not have been farming territory. The attraction has been around for over a decade in one form or another. I checked in on an early version of it several times in the early part of the 90s, and prior to this past season, I think our last visit there was somewhere in the neighborhood of 2006 or 7. And, while good, it fell off of our radar until we popped up on a whim one Saturday night this past year, and my, how times have changed. The Haunted Hollow has grown from the basic hayride concept to a multi-haunt attraction with a very strong fan base. This place is also home of the fire-breathing semis, possibly even the originating point for this type of thing, but I'm not 100% on that. I do know that this sort of thing originated here in the Ohio Valley. I'm just not sure if this is the birthplace, but never mind that. There are three sections. The first is the main tour or trail, in which large groups board old school buses with the roofing removed. I kid thee not. This is a pretty unique approach to the hayride idea, for this neck of the woods anyway, and they take you on a lengthy journey through a trail infested with creatures of every kind that board your vehicle and terrify the frightened amongst you and forewarn of future dangers to come. Okay, that'll do, donkey. That'll do. The trip runs about 20 to 30 minutes. Depends on the crowds, really. And there's some really inspired uses of props here. Take note of the production and execution of the scenes. Some are genuinely striking and cleverly executed. There are also two standalone haunts, the Slaughter Hotel and the Nightmare Penitentiary, full of twists, turns, and terrors of all kinds, the hotel being the more traditional type of haunted house, while the penitentiary lives up to its name with the hellish prison theme. Of the two of them, I prefer the hotel, but that's just my personal taste. Be aware this is more of a family-oriented attraction. And, with the aim on said market, there's minimal gore, and things are played on a relatively moderate keel. But there's also a very keen eye on the past here as well. I've often alluded to the attractions of the 1970s and 80s as a comparison point for a lot of haunts here on Hauntcast. But the hotel and the penitentiary are literal throwbacks to this era. Both are loaded with all sorts of floor triggers, mirrored halls, cramped passageways, black lights, and false walls. No CGI and no animatronics, but all sorts of surprises for the unwary. I had remarked to Lisa after we had gone through both that these were the most authentic old-school attractions that I had seen in many recent years, and, quite frankly, I felt this was deliberately done. There's a definite sense of nostalgia to the place, and, a lot of the time, effort and attention to detail is expended to give it that flavor. This is not accidental, and this alone is worth the price of admission. For those of you around at that time, it's a sweet experience, and for those of you younger, maybe this will give you an idea of what it was like long before technology dominated so much of the industry as it does now. As an aside note, Lisa had never been to any haunted houses until she met me. Make of that what you will. And it was really a joy to give her a bit of an idea of what it was like growing up with these in that time period. A couple of warnings. This is definitely a no-touching-the-monsters type of attraction. Spare me the puns, please. And they enforce this rule very strictly, so keep your hands to yourself, like the song says. For the record, I wouldn't drag really young kids to this one, but anyone over 7 or 8 years of age, if they have developed a taste for this, will fare just fine, accompanied by an adult. The trail buses are wide open vehicles and travel at a good size clip, so I'd recommend taking the weather into account when you plan your visit. On a prior excursion, we went on a night when the local temperature was a bit crisp and got chilled to the bone. Dress accordingly. Oh, if you're going to visit the Haunted Hollow Ride, either bring a GPS or ask for directions. The roadways in Wilmington have a curious twist to them, and some of the signs can be misleading. You literally will end up going in circles if you don't know what you're doing. A little bit of foreknowledge will save you a lot of time and grief. I speak from experience. There are plenty of things like snack bars, souvenir stands, displays, and bonfires littered about the lot for those craving such things. And I cannot emphasize enough how popular this place really is. The lines we saw rivaled some of the biggest haunts in the country. A 3-hour-plus wait the evening we attended. Go early if you're going, or use the fast pass option. There's plenty of parking, but take careful note of your location. Once again, this is all out in open field, and there are no markers or lampposts. You're going to be searching for your vehicle for a while when you head back on out. If you are in the area and need some assistance, do not hesitate to contact us. We'll be glad to meet up with you and show you around. Just remember our rule about asking for our help and fresh cups of Java. In terms of things to do for the town of Wilmington, I'm sorry, but we have no idea. Although we did notice quite a few restaurants and eateries along the town thoroughfares. As I mentioned earlier, the town's location puts you in a nice position of being relatively close to both Dayton and Cincinnati, with a myriad of things to do in either city. I'm not going to reiterate them here, but check out my segments in Horncast 37, 45, and 50 for some detailed ideas for both areas. Backtracking a bit, how was everyone's Halloween? Yeah, I know I'm a day late and a dollar short, but it's still a relevant point of discussion after all. Our season was a mixed bag, really. It didn't go 100% as planned. Does it ever? But we had a terrific year in terms of our haunt display. I don't think a day went by that someone didn't show up taking pictures. And with all the friends and family visiting, it was far from a letdown. And while we didn't travel as much as we normally do, life has a way of throwing you curveballs, we revisited quite a few haunts that I've discussed here, including the Devil's Attic and the Baxter Avenue Morgue. And no, we didn't hit Black Sabbath's 13 3D at Universal Horror Nights, but hey, there was plenty of footage floating around on YouTube to satisfy us. For the record, Trick or Treat here was a washout. It rained and rained and rained. Perfectly timed, too. Started coming down about an hour beforehand. Brilliant. I have to give credit to some of the local cities and townships out here. Many rescheduled, and those that didn't gave the kids a second night of Halloween goodness to make up for the soggy mess they had to deal with the night before. We also managed to hit the Dayton, Ohio Stoddard Avenue Pumpkin Glow for the second year in a row, which went from 700 to 850 lit jack-o'-lanterns. An amazing sight, even from a distance. I have to send out huge thank yous to both Mark Meter and Jason Bessemann for their above and beyond gracious hospitality to both myself and my family when we visited their respective attractions. My sincerest thanks and kudos to you both, gentlemen. It was truly appreciated. 2014 is going to be an interesting year for us. If all goes well, we'll be at Transworld, MHC, and possibly others. Fingers crossed on a few of these. But the year also promises much in terms of films and television as well. The Walking Dead sure had one hell of a mid-season finale, didn't it? Sorry to see Herschel go, though. Wonder where this is all going. We'll find out in 6 more weeks or so. Doctor Who celebrated its 50th in style back in late November, and Christmas saw the ushering in of Peter Capaldi as the 12th Doctor. And, of course, May 16th sees the release of Legendary Pictures' Godzilla. From all accounts, and judging by the trailer, this film is going to be fantastic. Let's just hope they don't let Matthew Broderick anywhere near it. The worm guy, indeed. Speaking of Godzilla, I wanted to give a shout-out to a related podcast a few folks here might appreciate called KaijuCast. You can find them at KaijuCast.com. Very informal, but also very well-informed, covering everyone from Godzilla, Gamera, Ultraman, and all sorts of rubber-suited fun, including terrific interviews with folks like Ed Godzewski, publisher of Japanese Giants magazine. Great stuff. Wrapping this up, I'm giving the Wilmington Haunted Hollow Ride 5 out of 5 Screaming Scullies. a genuine treat for family fun, and a great opportunity to introduce kids to the joy of the season, but also a surprisingly warm and nostalgic affair for the older haunter. This is something special, folks. Go check it out. Be brave and come and take a ride if you dare. As ever, check out the Veister's Halloween Haunt Journal blogspot page for the visual accompaniment to this month's segment. There's a convenient link to it on the Hauntcast site. And for those who haven't seen it already, I recently added an extra entry this month on the Stoddard Avenue Pumpkin Glow. Feel free to drop me a line if you have any questions or comments. You know how to find me, eric@hauntcast.net. Plus, I'm in and out of Facebook as well, and quite frankly, you've got a better chance of catching me there. And as Hauntcast is now in the home stretch, only 5 more episodes after this one, folks. Bearing that in mind, I'm going to do things a bit differently here on the Turnpike for these final months. As we literally have a small mountain of haunts we've visited over the years, not to mention a few we're aware of by reputation and longevity, and not a heck of a lot more time left, I'm going to continue to focus in on a central attraction, but will also make mention of a few other worthwhile spots of the same originating state. So many haunts, so little time. And always remember, Sven Gulliam, brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots. Keep planning, keep building, keep plotting. Stay warm and stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.